pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
For what reason?
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
You are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, Tiffany Steckbell.
Yeet the patriarchy.
Yeet them yeet. Indeed.
Yeet.
I love that. And JC Carter.
Welcome to the resistance, folks.
I have a sticker over here on the shelf that my daughter gave to me that is a pro-abortion sticker. It says, Yeetus the fetus.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I love, but it's like this big. I mean, it's huge. Oh. And I'm like, you know what? It's funny, but it's ugly. And I don't want it on my car.
Oh, it was a bumper sticker?
It was a bumper sticker.
Oh, and you go far out with your bumper stickers.
Like, I really don't.
You don't mind driving a car with
a bumper sticker?
With bumper stickers. I do.
You poor thing. I got a Batman on there. I got Enterprises.
That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you borrowed your daughter's car.
Oh, that was funny. She had a sticker on the back of that said, my other ride is a Hitachi.
And he drove the car all over. He'd pull up at the light, wave.
People would laugh.
Oh,
it was great. It was great. Wildly inappropriate bumper sticker, but just me driving it around because you'd pull in and somebody would look over at the car and see the bumper sticker, and then I'd crawl out and be like, huh. Like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Don't knock it till you try it. We don't kink shame here.
Things that vibrate for 200, Alex. I don't know. Just a little show business here at the top of the show. Don't forget Wednesdays here on theleftshow.com. Gen Zex with myself and Braxton Bunnell. We're talking about the differences between Gen X and Gen Z. What was his childhood like? What's my childhood like? I should say, what is his childhood like, you know, when he goes outside today because he's so fucking young.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I feel so old. When we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Transformers. And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was one of the first movies I saw in the theater. I'm like, oh, my God. I think the first movie I saw in the theater was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm.
What year was Empire? 82?
1980.
Then Empire was the first movie I saw in theaters.
Empire was the first. No, Empire was the second movie I got to go to by myself.
Mm.
You know, without somebody going. My mother hated going to the movies, so I didn't go to movies unless it was at the drive-through with my sister or the drive-in with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
We'd take her kids all to the drive-in. So that's how I saw Star Wars a year after it came out.
Yikes.
Star Wars. So the first movie I got to go to by myself was My Bodyguard.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Adam Baldwin.
Adam Baldwin. Yeah, that's where I first encountered Adam Baldwin. And although he's a ridiculous Republican.
Yes, he is.
He apparently has the Benjamin Button gene because he does not seem to age at all. Then Empire was right after that. I mean, they were the same year. So we went and saw Empire right after that. And
yeah.
The first movie I can remember seeing in the theater was Patton.
Patton.
And I remember, all I remember is George C. Scott in front of the flag swearing, and then I must have fallen asleep because I don't remember anything else in that movie.
Yeah, there's some exciting shit that happens after that bit.
Yeah, but that was all I got to see because I was little, so I fell asleep like in kid.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was my sister that took me to Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember. I just know that the first time we went to the beach when I was a little kid, I did not want to go out into that water because I had seen Jaws.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember if that was in the theater or on VHS.
I went to see Jurassic Park. I don't even know how old I was or when that came out. It was the first one.
1990. You keep talking. I'll look
and
it up.
And my
that
mom.
That was in the 90s?
Yeah, yeah. My mom came with me and literally she had an actual panic attack because it was so intense for her. She was like crawling all over the seat and she was like freaking out.
1993.
93. I was 10.
That was a crazy movie for 93 too. I remember going to see it and telling a friend about it later. He goes, I thought it was just a movie where the kids could go pet the dinosaurs. I'm like, that's what they want you to think.
No, they eat you.
I was old enough to drink when that movie came out, babe.
I know.
Oh my God, I'm so old. Oh, I'm a dirty old man.
I was working and going to my second college when that movie came out. Yeah.
Yep. Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. I have mirrors. I'm reminded of my age on a daily basis. You know, I see pictures of myself on Facebook memories and I'm like, when did I lose my beard? When did it get all fluffy and white? And when did I start turning into fucking Santa Claus in the goddamn puppet movies on the ABC?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because Santa was a redhead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chris Kringle was a redhead. And then the red went away. And they're like, now you're Santa Claus, fatty. And I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
Oh.
All right. Well, 10-year-old Jurassic Park watcher.
How about the rest of you? What was your first movie? Let us know. Daniel, shout out to you because you said something nice about us this week. So shout out to Daniel. What was your first movie? Let us know.
Yeah. Pop over to leftshow.com and write it in the comments. We'll talk about it next week. Mm-hmm. So the ballroom. Jesus fucking Christ.
Jesus
Republicans
fucking Christ.
Are moving legislation this last week with $1 billion for Trump's new ballroom because he's going to have his big ballroom. Here's the fun of this. I'll just throw this out for shits and giggles. It'll seat 1,000 people, this ballroom. There were 2,600 people at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's just bullshit after bullshit. There's no fucking truth to any of it. They're like, oh, well, we can hold it here. No, you can't. It's a third the size it needs to be. And we don't want it big enough. That's what hotels are for. You know, if your Secret Service guys can't do their fucking job because they're too busy trying to wipe the orange stains off their mouths, then maybe, just maybe, we should get a new head of the Secret Service.
Well,
I want to know what weird shit they're gonna do in the ballroom, like what kind of events. If they're already doing a wrestling outside, where everyone can see, what are they gonna do inside?
Oh, it's gonna be Caligula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will
is.
Be Caligula.
Yeah, we're
what's happening on top in the ballroom doesn't mean a damn thing. What's going on underneath the ballroom in the new data center that they're putting in down there? That's the thing I'm a little worried about.
I know, huh?
Yeah, and there is nothing but evidence that fucking data center is happening. Nothing but evidence that that's happening. And it's like, and they won't talk about it because it's all top secret shit. And I'm like, no, you work for me. I'm a citizen of this country. I want to know what the fuck that is.
Since when has that stopped them from sharing?
Oh God, no, they'll never share. Oh God,
from sharing information that they shouldn't.
You got to get on your Say What.
Yep.
App or WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Or
WhatsApp.
Signal.
Or no, Signal. Yeah, get on Signal. And then they'll tell you everything.
I have Signal.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, so now we're paying the $1 billion for it, huh? I thought Mexico was going to pay for it, Trump. Oh, wait, that was something else. That's right.
I thought rich people were going to pay for it.
Yeah, rich people were supposed to pay for it, but now they're not paying for it.
Yeah.
And wasn't it a wonderful coincidence that he, you know, somebody tried to kill him and that gave him, suddenly pushed the ballroom forward? Wasn't that an interesting coincidence there?
No coincidence-y. Trump also, as we've talked about on the show before, was trying to sue the IRS for $10 billion for leaking his tax returns. You know, the tax returns that no reporter reported on because they never got leaked. Mm-hmm. So now
the tax returns that he had to get forced to submit. He would not submit them.
Right. Yeah. So now what he wants to do is set aside almost $2 billion that he can use to give money to people that the government has sued that are friends of his.
Mm-hmm.
He's suing his own government.
He's claiming it's like January 6th, guys. No. That's not who's going to get that money. You know it's not who's going to get that money.
No, it's the guys he's pardoned in the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all these rich dipshits that are getting out of prison from, well, either white collar crimes or child molestation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you guys saw that Ken Paxton, the AG of Texas, one of his buddies got caught raping a 9-year old, and he gave him 60 days half served. He's going to do 30 days in jail. And he doesn't have to register as a sex offender. You know, because pedophilia is okay in the GOP.
Oh, that's totally acceptable. That's just how they run the government.
MAGA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ugh, gross. That is it. Okay. Nebraska. How you doing, Nebraska? I'd like to tell you a cautionary tale.
Too late.
Nebraska Democrats nominated a candidate who'd promised to drop out of the race for the U.S. Senate. Now, it's already different than Utah, since Utah Democrats forced their Democrat out.
Yeah.
So the Associated Press called the primary for Cindy Burbank, a retired pharmacy technician. Not long after polls closed on Tuesday night, Burbank has promised to drop out of the race and clear the way for an independent candidate named Dan, who, is he, if he's not white, will blow my fucking mind. But he's half conservative. He's apparently not a MAGA. He's just an asshole, which... Boy, do I miss assholes.
I know.
I miss being assholes.
Back in the days.
John Boehner, come back, man. You were a prick, but at least you were fucking, you could draw a line from A to B without a bunch of bullshit in the middle. You were just a dick.
Exactly.
Paul Ryan, exactly. Where are you, buddy? Huh? What happened? You guys ran away and left us with the lunatics. Anyway, Dan Osborne, a populist with some conservative views who has raised significant sums of money and outperformed Democratic candidates in the state in 2024. Nebraska Democratic Party endorsed Burbank and her plans to drop out. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. I understand you're doing it so you don't split the ticket. Okay, but you're in fucking Nebraska. If this works... I still get to be pissed at Utah because they did it dirty-handed, skullduggerous, under the table, backroom, cigar smoke, yada yada, and forced their Democrat out so that they could get support behind an anti-LGBTQ, anti-abortion, anti-women's health care Republican shithead just because he used to work at the CIA.
He was such a great candidate.
McMuffin?
No, the one... No. No,
Kale
the
Weston.
Democrat, Kale, yeah.
Yeah, Kale Weston, yeah, no. I can remember his name every fucking time.
I love Kale.
You ask me a celebrity name right when I want to talk about him, I cannot remember it. But Kale Weston, that name just stays in my head because I was so pissed about that.
Well, that's because it's right there, sir, stuck in your craw.
stuck in my craw permanently. It is indeed.
Those Democratic curs. I love antediluvian language. It gives me the giggles. Anyway, yeah. So her opponent was a dude named William Forbes, who's probably pretty pissed right now. a pastor who supported President Donald Trump in the past.
Or he's just smiling like Mike Lee smiled when they threw McMuffin against him.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I got this guy beat. It was Cale Weston I was more worried about.
Yeah. on this one, Forbes is seen as a GOP plant who hoped to win the nomination and then split the Democratic vote in the race against incumbent Senator Pete Ricketts. It might work in Nebraska.
It might.
It might.
But it still feels like Nebraska Democrats are taking a lesson from Utah Democrats, which is not a good lesson.
Or I think more accurately, we would be not taking a lesson from Utah Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Because it is, I have talked to reporters that work for both of the good papers. You know, mm-hmm. the Deseret News is just softballs. They're not a bad paper. They're just more like something you would pick up at the grocery store on your way out to the car on a rainy day than a newspaper. You know, they're a bulletin. They're a newsletter, if you will. But yeah, I've talked to reporters at both papers and they're just like, you know, we don't take anything seriously that the Democrats do because they shot themselves in the foot. They cut their own feet off. You know, they mm-hmm. can't even support their own candidates. Why should we pay attention to their candidates? Now, that's changing a little bit with what's happening, you know, in the congressional district. But we're going to talk about a teensy weensy little problem with that later in the show. Just mm-hmm. an itty bitty, teeny weeny, widdle widdle little problem. Because Democrats can't keep their fucking zippers up. Oh, my God. Here's the one I'm going to be pissed about. Colorado Governor Jared Polis has given clemency to Tina Peters. Tina Peters was that lady who broke in and started fucking around with voting machines.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
She went to trial. She was found guilty. She was sent to jail. Trump had a tizzy fit about it because she's one of his. And yep. Paulus, on his way out the door, you know, decided that he's going to go ahead and let her go.
Grant clemency.
Yep.
Time served, whatever that means. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. She basically soiled the democratic process. And by soiled, mm-hmm. I mean took a shit on.
Yeah.
And she's getting out early. For reasons, she doesn't deserve clemency. She deserves to be in there as long as a black kid arrested in the 90s with two joints in his pocket had to go to jail for.
Yep.
If not, you know, by which I'm saying, I don't agree with that. It's bad. White people should be punished. Honestly, in revenge at this point.
We deserve it.
We really do.
The worst.
Yep.
Yep. We are the worst.
Well, I mean, that's you take a look at the medical cannabis field and just how many white people are in it. You know, when it was time for them to figure out a way to make money with it, they sure did push out any minority interest. You know? And still, there are people with marijuana convictions in states where it's currently legal that are serving time still.
Yeah.
You know, so in my election denier, Tina Peters, she's out. She's getting out. And it's fucked. Okay.
Election denier and basically felon when it comes to tampering with voting.
Yep.
Is getting out. Yeah.
Yep. All right, let's take a break. We get back on the other side. Deep dives and then an accidental FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I'm mad about, and it's not about soccer, but it is about FIFA. So we'll have a good time with that.
What are we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
And we don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
There's a guy that I watch on the internet. His name's Rich Beatty. He's a guitar player, music producer, and like he'll take apart songs. Here's why this song's good. You know, this layer, this layer, this layer, this little thing, that and the other, and play it in little clips of 5 and 6 and 7 seconds, you know, 4, 8, 12 beats. And anytime he's touched the Eagles for any reason whatsoever, even
anything,
he talked about the song once. He didn't even play it. Okay, what he played was is he did a tonal shift and went from major chords to minor chords.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of got the gist, but it wasn't their song. It was all minor chords, and they still sent him a cease and desist.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. It's insane.
Adam Reeder, the professor of rock, he only puts up 10 seconds of any song, and he still gets demonetized by every fucking record label that shows up. And he will not do any Eagles stuff because he's like, I know they'll sue my ass.
Yep. Yep. It's insane.
He's like, I'd really love to talk about the Eagles, but they won't do an interview with me. He's interviewed some of the biggest names in music. He's like, they won't do an interview with me. And if I put up any of their music, they'll sue me for it. So.
Yep. Fuck the Eagles.
Yep.
Fuck them. Desperado's a good song, but it's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hotel California, that's a pretty good song. But I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but Pink Floyd has a huge back catalog that is far superior to anything the Eagles have ever put out. And if you want beef with me on that, pop over to theleftshow.com and hit in those fucking comments.
Do
it. I will beef on that. David Gilmour, superior.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Songwriter Roger Waters as a songwriter, superior. Not to mention that one of their other big hits, Old 55,
mm-hmm.
that the Eagles did, written by, why am I forgetting his name? He's got the deep voice.
Because it's not Kel Weston.
It's not Kel Weston, that's why I'm forgetting his name. He's got the deep voice, growls a lot when he sings.
Joe Cocker? Tom Waits.
Older than that.
Tom Waits? Older than Tom Waits?
Tom Waits.
That's
who it was. Yeah, Tom Waits wrote Old 55. It's on like his first album, but the Eagles covered it and it was a big hit for them. So,
huh. Yeah, love Tom Waits. Huge fan. Big. Okay, folks, it is time to do deep dives. The order this week is Tiffany, then myself, then Mr. Carter.
Okay.
So, do I need to set a timer for you or you're going to burn through it?
I think I'm running long.
Okay, let's see what happens.
Okay.
Good news is mine will run short, so you're fine.
Okay, awesome.
It's time for The Left Show's Deep Dives. Every week, your intrepid hosts take a detailed look important topics from across the globe that matter to you, whether you know it or not. Let's see how this goes. Best of luck, folks.
Imagine the year is 1917, and you have a job that literally makes you glow in the dark. For hundreds of young women in New Jersey and Illinois, that wasn't a metaphor, it was their reality. They were the shining girls. They worked in factories painting the dials of watches with a miraculous new substance called radium. It was the wonder drug of the age. People drank radium-infused water for health. They wore it in cosmetics. These women were paid top dollar to paint tiny numbers with a glowing paint called Undark. To get the lines perfect, they were taught a simple trick: lip, dip, paint.
Yikes.
They'd put the brush in their mouths to sharpen the point, dip it in the paint, and stroke it onto the glass. They were told it was safe. They even started painting their teeth and nails before dates so they'd glow in the moonlight. The women were often called ghost girls because the radium dust from the factories were so pervasive that it settled in their hair, their skin, and their clothing. They even started painting their teeth. Oh, I said that already. They painted their teeth and their nails. So while the male supervisors told the women the paint was safe, they even suggesting it would make your cheeks rosy, the management and the scientists at the same facilities, yeah, well, they took extreme precautions. They handled the radium with lead screens, lead aprons, and metal tongs. They knew the material was lethal, but deliberately left the female workers uninformed to maintain productivity. But radium is terrifying. The human body actually mistakes it for calcium. So when these women lipped those brushes, the radium traveled straight to their bones. It didn't just sit there. It began to overtake their skeletons with radiation from the inside out. By the early 1920s, the glow began to fade into a nightmare. Their teeth fell out. Their jawbones literally crumbled at a touch. Fuck. A horrific condition doctors called radium jaw. One woman went to the dentist to have a tooth pulled, and her entire jawbone came out with it.
Oh.
They were suffering from honeycombed bones, filled with tiny holes as the radiation ate them alive. But when they tried to speak up, the companies didn't just ignore them. They smeared them. They bribed doctors to say that these girls were dying of syphilis, to shame them into silence. The women, however, refused to keep quiet, because when a woman's body becomes a byproduct of industry, her voice is her only weapon. Led by a woman named Grace Fryer, a group of radium girls sued. These women all knew they were dying. They just wanted to make sure no one else did. Well, they won. Their case was one of the first times a company was held legally responsible for the health of its employees. Huh. Because of their determination, we got OSHA and the modern safety laws that protect you at your job today. Remember that these regulations aren't just red tape. They're blood-bought rights earned by women who refused to die in silence. They didn't just light up the room. They lit the fire that burned down the era of disposable workers. Today, we see their shadows in every woman still battling reproductive safety, still fighting for the simple right to be believed by the medical community. We see it in every whistleblower facing a smear campaign and in every worker demanding that their life be worth more than a profit margin. So for guidance on what legally qualifies as a hostile work environment and to learn how you can file complaints, you can go to eeoc.gov and you can also visit osha.gov for safety complaints as well. But when a woman speaks, she survives. But when we speak together, we ensure that everyone else does too.
Can I clap?
Please clap for me.
Clap.
Pretend I'm Jeb Bush. Please clap for me.
That was, I knew that story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know details of that story that you shared today. I knew that they got sick and I knew that they died and I knew that they sued. But you went into some detail there that just made it so much more horrific.
Yeah. I cut some stuff out.
I was having a horrible joke in my head of going, I don't know how they could speak up without a jawbone, but they managed to do it. No, the and when it comes to OSHA, there is not one OSHA regulation that isn't written in a worker's blood.
Yep.
Yeah.
And because some worker died or was injured, these laws have been written. And any employer who pushes up against them and says that they don't matter, they're out to kill you. You should not die because of your job.
Right. OSHA, when I worked with the county, we had mm-hmm. these incidents a lot. Like somebody fell up the stairs, like just one step. And we had to send an entire email out to everybody, you know, about mm-hmm. watch your step on the stairs. Like, so that part was annoying to me, but learning about this, it gave me a really great appreciation. There's so many, yep. so many things that we have because other people fought so hard for.
Mm-hmm.
So
people had to die for it. And that's why yeah. we have it.
They also had to, I didn't talk about this, but they also had to prove that they had been harmed by the radium. And so, mm-hmm. A woman, Elizabeth Hughes or something, mm-hmm. she created a test that actually proved that they could blow in these tubes and these bottles and you could see. So
you could see the radium.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking on Wi-Fi and that was invented by a lady,
mm-hmm.
you know, an actress.
Yep. An actress. Yep.
Was that Hedy Lamarr?
That was Hedy Lamarr.
Yep. Hedy Lamarr.
Her discovery of that algorithm is why we were, and that was just a mathematical discovery she had.
Yep.
There was no way that she could ever implement it with the technology she had at the time. And she did it. So yeah, that was Hedy Lamarr.
Just saying, women invent cool shit.
Yep.
They do. Yeah. All right. Well, Jesus, now I don't want to go. but yeah, I want to just take a minute, talk about taxing the rich. People act like it's a radical idea designed to destroy success, but historically, it's actually one of the most normal economic policies America has ever had. The United mm-hmm. States built the modern middle class during periods when the wealthiest Americans paid dramatically higher taxes than they do today. Looking at you, Ronald Reagan. And somehow, mm-hmm. rich people still exist. Weird. So nobody's
saying... And existed in the 50s. Yeah.
Nobody's saying that a billionaire should become homeless. Well... The argument is that when a tiny percentage of people control an enormous share of wealth, society starts to break apart. Housing gets unaffordable. Schools get underfunded. Infrastructure crumbles. Healthcare becomes a luxury item. Meanwhile, corporations announce record profits while telling workers that there's just no money for raises. And so the reality that people don't like talking about is there is a finite amount of money in the world. In the economy at any given time. That's not infinity money. That's important because wealth doesn't magically appear from the heavens like manna. If massive amounts of money pool endlessly at the very top and stay there through tax shelters, stock buybacks, offshore accounts, mm-hmm. accumulated assets, what that means is that there's less money actively moving through working communities, and economies work best when money moves around. When regular people spend money, businesses grow. When workers have disposable incomes, entire cities thrive. If I can't afford your shit, how are you going to make money from me buying your shit? And that's why politicians like Mamdani have gained traction. Mamdani's argued for balancing parts of the city and state budget, not by gutting public services, but by increasing the taxes on ultra wealthy earners and massive corporations that benefit from New York's economy. And his argument is simple and brilliant. If billionaires profit from labor, infrastructure, transit systems, consumers, and opportunities created by the city, then they should contribute more toward maintaining it.
Mm-hmm.
And a funny thing is, even under these proposals, rich people are still fucking rich. If somebody has $10 billion and pays higher taxes, they don't suddenly become a guy eating cold spaghetti out of a can under a bridge. They still own their fucking yachts. They still have penthouses. They still have investment portfolios bigger than a lot of cities' annual budgets. The phrase tax the rich sounds aggressive, but what people are really arguing for is balance. because right now working people are being squeezed from every direction. Rent, healthcare, groceries, childcare, insurance, while the wealth gap keeps widening. So the richest Americans have accumulated trillions in additional wealth over the last decade, even during economic crises where ordinary people get fucked. And that's where the political divide really sits. One side sees taxation as punishment. The other sees it as maintenance and the membership fee for benefiting the most from the system. So at the end of the day, roads don't build themselves. Schools don't fund themselves. Firefighters don't volunteer because they got good vibes. Society costs money. And the question becomes, should the burden fall mostly on working people trying to survive paycheck to paycheck? Or on the people making more money in a week than most families earn in a lifetime?
Yay. Yes. Good job.
That's me. And we're going to talk about why I'm mad about that in the third block.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. A $12 billion deficit Mondami found when they were trying to get the budget balanced. And he closed it by simply taking away contracted services that were basically paying billionaires to run certain city services and gave them back to the city to run. And then he found out that there were apartments that these billionaires were holding onto, these big luxury apartments all over New York, all over the five boroughs. And he said, oh, you don't get to have that without paying a tax on it. So he basically put together a pie to tear tax that said, yeah, you pay a higher tax for owning these luxury apartments that you won't live in.
Yep.
Because they're basically luxury tax shelters for these. They were luxury tax shelters for these wealthy people. So, yeah.
I like that, dude. All right. Mm-hmm. Are you ready, sir?
I am ready.
At your convenience.
We're told the wheels of government are slow to turn. And yeah, that gets proven to us all the time, right? Anytime we ask for something that would help out, that would give us a break, that would give us infrastructure, that would pay for our health care, that would give us consumer protections, we're given lip service by the politicians. The lawmakers will say that, and this is both at federal and state level, by the way, they'll say, oh, no, no, that's going to take too long for us to implement. Or they'll say, oh, no, that change isn't practical. Now, shout out to a couple of guys who did this on probably TikTok, and it got moved over. I saw it on a reel on Instagram. It was funny the way they did it because they did it as a back and forth. But I've added to it and I saw it as something really serious to talk about. When it comes to taking rights away from people, the government can move at warp speed to make it happen every single time. In 2022, what happened? The Supreme Court ruled against abortion and suddenly 13 states had trigger laws already to go to take away women's rights. And by the end of the year, those states all had some form of abortion ban, whether it was a complete total abortion ban that was actually killing women because it was preventing abortions that are needed for partial miscarriages, ectopic pregnancies, and other medical reasons. They couldn't have those, and they took them away. And they're still, some of these states are still inactively killing women. Warp 5, engage. Here we go. That was in 2022. And now the Supreme Court struck down a part of the Civil Rights Act that prevented racial discrimination through gerrymandering. And all of a sudden, all the southern states were starting to immediately start gerrymandering to take away voting districts that were historically black voting districts because mm-hmm. they voted Democrat. Tennessee, 99% Republican districts, gerrymandered their map and has taken away the remaining 1% that was in Memphis. That were black districts and usually resulted in Tennessee sending at least one Democrat to Congress as part of their congressional group. We have had the same thing here in Utah, and it got gerrymandered away. And we didn't have a black district because we're in Utah. Louisiana, their governor suspended their state primaries that were actively going on right then so he could redraw their maps and take away those voting districts. Alabama and Florida have also redrawn their maps. Dipshit governor in Florida, he is actually in trouble for it. The state attorney general said that's not constitutional. You can't do it. But he's pushing it through anyway. And now we're looking at Mississippi, Georgia, and both Carolinas about to follow. Basically, the South will rise again. Here it comes. The South will take away black people's rights if they get one opportunity to do it. Absolutely. Was the Civil Rights Act needed and necessary still after we had a black president? Yes, it was necessary when we had a black president. It's still necessary. You take these rights away, and as soon as you say, oh, that's not necessary, you strike down a part of the law, these fuckers will go out of their way and move it faster than light speed to change those laws.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times these are we can link these directly to Republican legislatures and Republican lawmakers. But when we go back to talking about the slow wheels of government turning, that's where Democrats share the blame with their Republican colleagues. Because look at what we had with both Obama and Biden when they had to force basically a lot of their policies through and fought against lawmakers on both sides, not just Republicans. They were fighting against Democrats as well, you know, establishment Democrats. Obamacare, the Infrastructure Act, the CHIPS Act, all of those were fought against by some establishment Democrats, as well as every Republican, because a Democrat president was proposing it. What they basically argued, none of those changes that Obama or Biden wanted were sustainable. What they really meant was those changes weren't something their billionaire donors wanted to have happen. That their pocketbook that was being sustained by all of their investments that they were able to go and get insider trading for would be hurt by these particular changes. So basically, any politician, regardless of flavor, is going to bow down to their billionaire paymasters. They're going to pay attention to their wallet more than they're going to pay attention to you. And they are very happy to maintain a Reagan-era status quo, which is why we need these progressive politicians like Mondami, like the other what Mike Johnson is calling the mini Mondamis that are popping up all over the country, to continue to behave, to continue to act, and to act regardless of the pushback they're getting from their lawmakers, because they're proving that these things, Mondami alone, along with several of these others, are proving that these things, these policies are working, and that we can speed up the wheels of government, not just to take away people's rights, but to enhance them.
Good job. We need so many people to die.
On that note, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we get back on the other side, I got some local news. Hey folks, Jeff here. So you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from The Left Show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America, $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
I haven't had any feedback at all about our Hall Pass episode of I Told You So.
I know. Me either.
I always get feedback. Usually it's people like, oh, a little TMI there, pal. You got a little TMI there. And we did a Hall Pass episode last week. And nobody said boo about it. And I'm like, is that good or bad?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I could speculate, but I don't know. It just sounds like, oh, yeah, no. Well, yeah, we have a Hall Pass too.
Let's compare notes.
I mean, I really did. I thought I would get some, really? That's who you chose kind of thing? And I sweated about this episode because I'm like, you know, I can't get canceled. I got to make sure, you know, that the age gap's appropriate because I didn't marry that way. So do as I say, not as I do. Oh, my God. You were 10 years old when Jurassic Park came out. That is
no, so, it was so scary.
Makes me feel
those
so
big
fucking
dinosaurs.
Creepy.
Unlike you, you're used to them growing up around them and stuff.
That was not kind. That was not kind at all. That is almost as mean as me telling JC that the reason media mail worked so well for him is because he was used to ponies.
Yes.
See, we do that.
Agree. We do. I know. When I was talking about those two guys who did the little bit about how all of a sudden government can move real fast when we want to take away people's lives.
Oh, those
guys.
Like,
I was telling my wife about it. I said a couple of old guys, and I was like, wait a minute, they're probably my age. Okay, a couple of old guys.
Yes.
I'm like, I guess I can call them old. I'm old. I saw a sign. I had to go to, unfortunately, Hobby Lobby yesterday to pick up a wood burner because there's just nothing. You know, you go to some of these other big box stores and it's like they don't have it. So went into Hobby Lobby and they sure enough had one. And as we were walking out, I saw a sign that said, it feels weird being the same age as old people now.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Yeah. I said, yeah, I need that sign.
I'm kind of lucky because Jeff is older than me, so I always feel like I'm young, you know? Mm-hmm.
Even You're though always going to be younger. Young.
I know.
That is true.
Hanging around with us, we're always going to make you feel young, Tiff. That's
I
all
like
there is.
That. I appreciate it.
It when you say shit like that, the Jurassic Park thing, mm-hmm. I really, really get upset with myself.
Why?
Because I realize that when I'm in my late 40s and you're in your wherever, that our age gap's not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go to some childhood memories, I'm like, oh, holy fuck.
And it makes suddenly you're doing your other show only with Tiffany instead of Braxton.
Yes.
We could actually do that. I don't think
and to be fair, Braxton was, you know, like that 10-year-old seeing a movie when Tiffany was in college, you know.
It's even more
It's so weird, especially when your kids are grown and like have their own lives, and I don't know, I just don't mm-hmm. feel old enough for that.
Yep. In Utah, and we've been talking about it a little on and off over the last couple of weeks, the world's biggest data center getting built in an arid desert that's having a water issue with a lake mm-hmm. that as that lake dries up is pushing poisonous toxins into the air. But because Republicans refuse to believe that anything you put into the air could possibly be harmful for you, they went ahead and greenlit this fucking 40,000. It's bigger than the Isle of Manhattan.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Data center. That's going to expel the collective heat of 23 atomic bombs every day.
Mm-hmm.
It needs a massive amount of water to keep it cool. And we're in the middle of the fucking desert. Go to Florida, you fucks.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Florida's great for you guys. Go there.
Yeah.
Go to Wisconsin. set that up there, you know.
Or find a nice little lake. Yep. In the land of 10,000 lakes.
Or right next to the Great Lake. How's that sound?
Yeah,
go put it in
there.
Pennsylvania. Yeah.
There's a lot of flat fucking ground in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there, like you said, there is a huge amount of water available that's not, you know, pushing arsenic into our breathing atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kevin O'Leary, conservative investor and Shark Tank dipshit, is facing a tempest of bipartisan backlash over his wanting to fund this giant data center. What he's been doing is going online and on TV and to reporters and saying that the people that are against him are obviously Chinese agents.
Well, I think about the two women from Alliance. I can't remember what the full title is.
Yeah.
But I think about those two women, those two young women, those two girls to me, because, you know, I'm old. I'm like, I just laugh because I'm like, yeah, they're Chinese agents. Yeah, you idiot.
One of them used to work with me or work for me.
Yeah.
You know, the other one is the one that got called out and has been. They're not Chinese agents.
No.
No. I got beef with the group they hang out with, you know, and I will still just stand up and go, what the fuck? How can anybody possibly believe this? I cannot imagine the death threats these young women are probably getting right now. The other threats that they're probably getting right now from the MAGAs that do that. They are well-meaning. They are representative, you know, of the people that give a shit. They put out very accurate information. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I got beef with these people. And no, Kevin O'Leary, you piece of shit. Why don't you grab your Spencer Cox and grab your Schultz? You know, that was the big story that the kids released this week, is they found out that that Mike Schultz has several hundred acres just down the street. You know, I don't know where you could put a gas station for the people that are going to work at the data center.
Yep. He basically bought it for pennies on the dollar. This piece of acreage, the official deed said like $10 and
considerations
so that he wouldn't have to reveal how much exactly he paid, but you know it was nothing. It was near nothing, because he bought it in 2025, so he knew this fucking property was going to appreciate. He knew that he could see it happen. He because he was already up to his balls in Kevin O'Leary, you know.
Did you see Jason Chaffetz popped up and took credit for the whole goddamn thing? Jason Chaffetz, you know, what's the word I was looking for?
Anus eyes.
Prolapsed anus. Yep.
And he is a human prolapsed anus. But he's like, you know, I was against the data center until I heard about it, at which point I went and got everybody involved.
Until I went and invested in it.
Yeah, my friend Kevin O'Leary. It's like,
my good buddy.
All right, buddy. Look, I don't think you're reading the room very well right now, but I can guarantee that not only will Democrats use this fucking tweet against you, Republicans will as well. You know, because even Republicans are pissed about this.
$16 million is all it took to buy off the county commissioners for Box Elder County. $16 million. That's it. This data center, if realized, will generate billions of dollars for Kevin O'Leary and the rest of the corporate guys who own it. Is that money going to come back here? Not really.
No.
We don't tax high enough for that. Will it create new jobs? It's an AI data center, so there will be a lot of programming jobs if you're willing to live in Box Elder County.
For a minute. And then it's just caretaking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not this is not something that's going to help Utah. And when we go back to those two girls, it's like they were doing this before with the gerrymandered maps. They were doing this before with other things that the Republicans have gotten up to in this state, yep. the lawmakers in the state have gotten up to. So they're not working for the Chinese. They're working for us. They're working for Utah, period. So yeah. if you're out of state and all you hear about is the only way you've ever heard about these two girls is through us and Kevin O'Leary, just know they've been doing this shit for a while. And I've been following them for a while on social media, and they are
a couple years, years at least. And like I said, they're bright, they're energetic, they give good information, you know. Mm-hmm. They do it in a way that is not boring.
Yeah,
you know, like I
their
said,
their little post-it note videos always make me smile.
Yeah, yeah,
and they give me so much good information that I'm like, ooh. If only we did a local politics show on a regular, we could use that. But honestly, if we did a local politics show, I'd want them as co-hosts. That's all there is to
it. I don't know who we're talking about.
Gabby Finlayson and Jackie Morgan.
Oh.
Jackie Morgan, yeah. Gotcha. For Alliance, is it Alliance for a Better Utah?
One of them's Alliance for a Better Utah, and the other one is Elevate.
Yeah, it was Elevate Utah, that was it.
No, Elevate Solutions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, speaking of Chinese agents, this one came from Tiffany this week, who was like, are you fucking kidding me, in bed late at night, showing this to me. A California mayor will plead guilty to being an illegal agent for the Chinese government, resigned from her position, officials confirmed last week.
God damn it.
I know.
Just what we want to say. There's no such thing as Chinese agents.
Bam.
Here we go. Here's one for you. Yep.
Arcadia Mayor Eileen Wang was charged in April with one count of acting in the United States as an illegal agent for a foreign government. 58 years old, Wang was accused of doing the bidding of Chinese officials, including sharing articles favorable to Beijing without prior notification to the United States government, which is required by law.
Mm-hmm.
She was elected in November of 2022 to a five-person city council where the mayor is selected on a rotating basis. How'd that work out for you, you pioneers?
The fact that she could get like compromising information at that level of government is startling in some ways. Yeah.
It's just weird. It's just weird. So here's what happened. I think it was a year and a half ago. Trump mm-hmm. popped up with a little infomercial selling the Trump phone.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Remember?
Yep.
The T1.
I honestly cannot remember whether or not it was painted gold. But if it was, I would not be surprised.
I think the outer case is painted gold. And I think you can also get a gold-plated cover for it.
Gross.
So a shitload of people
mm-hmm.
put down their deposit on this phone.
Yep.
And then last week, the company that makes the phone said that they were filing for bankruptcy and walking with the money, which I believe was upwards of $60 million.
What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trump Mobile, the wireless phone carrier launched in part by Trump's sons Don Jr. and Eric, say that the company's long-delayed T1 phones will begin shipping this week. The company made the announcement Wednesday on Trump Mobile's official social media accounts. The T1 phone has arrived, reads the message posted to Trump Mobile's Instagram and Facebook pages.
Okay.
Those who ordered the T1 phone will be receiving an update email. Phones will start shipping this week. A representative for the company's customer care team, when reached by the news on Wednesday, said she was aware the phones would ship soon, but could not provide any estimate on when customers could expect them to arrive. The phones were first made available for pre-order in June of 2025.
Mm-hmm.
They will apparently be shipped in the order they were ordered.
That's nuts.
And you know they're probably going to work as well as the Microsoft phone. Yeah.
Yeah.
work for like a year, and then there will be an upgrade, and all of a sudden the whole thing will just be shit.
And people will be saying, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? And the answer is always going to be no. No, we can't. We can't hear you.
Nope. Trump can't hear you. Hear you. Yeah. It'll be like the Galaxy One.
So
we're great for 8 months, and then just shit the bed on me. Yep.
Yeah. The T1 phone will feature a 6.78-inch touchscreen display, a 50-megapixel main camera, a quick-charge battery, fingerprint sensor, and other features. The phone will also run on the Android 15 operating system. That's nuts. It
doesn't matter what the OS is if the hardware is shit. You know?
I think that's what happened, is he just went to China to check on the children that are making his phones.
Mm.
Exactly. That's the whole reason he went there.
Told him to work faster.
All right.
Lick the radium brushes before you use them.
Lip dip right.
Yep.
What is the Shaolin Nun is done like tomorrow?
It is done on, tomorrow basically. It's done on the 20th at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. So if you're going to drop some support, you need to do it by, and if you're here in Utah, that'd be 6:30 a.m. So you have to get it done by that time on the 20th. So we're dropping this on the 18th. Videos probably going out on end of the day on the 18th usually. And so, yeah, you've got tomorrow basically to support this if you're going to do it.
Yeah, don't worry about the YouTube yet. That's a long-term growth strategy.
Yeah.
Nobody, no shit. I'm kidding. We're still in single and lower double digits for people watching on YouTube.
You know. It's all me. I just hit re.
Yeah, it takes a little while to get an audience.
It's getting refresh a lot to bump up the number.
Yeah.
So we're at 6161 as of right now. 6161, which we had a $6,000 goal. So we did meet our fundraising goal at the moment. People tend to drop out toward the end because they're looking at gas prices and going, I'm not going to be able to afford this on the 20th when they're going to take my money. So we want to make sure we're keeping up and staying ahead. I have a stretch goal that it opens up at 6,500. I've never, ever been able to do a stretch goal because we always just pike it in. I've only been able to offer it now. I think this is the third time I've been able to even talk about a stretch goal because we funded early. But usually it's funding on the last day. Mm. So it's a great series. It's worth checking out.
Give them the web address.
You need to go to shaolinnun.com/Kickstarter. And that will take you right to the Kickstarter page. shaolinnun.com/Kickstarter.
Yes, check it out.
It's a neat story. It's a lot of fun. I can't wait to read 6. Mm-hmm. With that, we're going to run to Patreon now. Every week that we record, we go to patreon.com/dfenmedia for some special extra content. If you know what I mean. Yeah. Try and contain this. But yeah, over on Patreon, it's a fun show. It's usually a little more lively, a little more lighthearted, a little bit more fun. So if you want to join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/defendmedia, we sure would like to see you. In the meantime, Tiffany, thank you very much.
You betcha.
JC, thank you very much.
You're welcome, America.
And you folks, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon, patreon.com/defendmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.